know I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me a second.
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
now. I'll do it for free. I'll
see it now. I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back in places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble,
but let's make
no worries
exactly
for
the rest of
your days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. And hello, hello, everybody. Welcome, 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 welcome to another off-the-wall, crazy, ragtag, buck-wild edition of To the Turnbuckle, episode 165. This one's titled, And That's the Story. And this is the story all about how Cody Rhodes' life got turned upside down. I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there, and I'll tell you all about how he became the prince
of the WWE.
Well, might as well have been Belair.
I mean, he looks like he could be the Prince of Belair.
But first, I got to introduce my
fine
co-host
for
the evening.
Thanks for that dose of nostalgia, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate that a lot.
That's what I'm here for. Some say I love nostalgia too much.
Oh, you believe that? Let us know if we look like jackasses with this new set here. I'm just playing around with demons.
Just what?
Having a good time.
We're just playing around. You know, we're just playing around.
Oh, well, I hope they heard that, because I forgot to turn my mic on. But it echoes in here, because it's a living room, not a studio, so it's fine.
All right, you are killing our gimmick.
It's fine.
You are killing the gimmick.
Nobody cares. They know we're jackasses.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Freddie, thank you so much. Freddie says, me, it was good this past weekend, so was Ring of Honor. Amen, Ring of Honor was good. Hell yeah, I watched Supercard of Honor.
Who said what now?
Freddie Bannister was tied.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Freddie.
Do you go by Fred or Freddie? Because I don't personally know Fred.
Well, I don't either, but he's become a supporter of mine, and we're becoming good friends, and I thank him very much for his loyal support.
Yes, thank you, Freddie, for tuning in, being loyal, and let me know if I'm long-winded, please.
Because not only is he tuning in most Thursdays, you know, he's tuning in to my racing show, Racing Refresh, most Wednesday nights. Incredible support he's showing.
Fan right there. I don't have any of this.
Freddie and I, we're moving past the fan-host relationship. He and I are becoming good friends, and I'm enjoying it. All right, so we got so much to get to, McCarthy.
Do we?
We do.
What happened?
Lots of shit.
Lots. I couldn't even understand why. What happened?
Well, you know, there was this little thing called WrestleMania.
That did happen.
But I don't want to kick off with that, actually.
Wait, what? Why?
Because last night, there was some shit. Mm. There were some things that happened on AEW Dynamite. It kicked off with Adam Copeland, a TNT Championship match he retained. We'll talk about that momentarily, ladies and gentlemen. But let's talk about the topic that is setting the wrestling world ablaze. I mean, an inferno that Kane can only dream of, McCarthy. Let's talk about it.
Cool. Thanks, Fred. I think Fred is going to come. He said it really doesn't matter, but whatever comes out, appreciate it, buddy.
Fred. Big leaguer.
I'm just trying to be. I'm trying to be more active with our audience because I'm really fucking bad at that.
Well, all we can do is get better. But the first thing I want to talk about, and WrestleMania is huge, and we're going to talk it plenty. I promise you, Fred, and anybody else that dials in, we're going to talk WrestleMania until it comes out of our ass. But got to start off with the news that has set the world ablaze last night. Tony Khan showed some cojones. Now, you can argue if it was for better or worse, and we're going to have that conversation. But Tony Khan said, don't mess with me. these balls are big. Because last night on AEW Dynamite, the Young Bucks did a promo, a little backstage, more like a vignette, kind of. In what looked to be a locker room, that you would, do pregame or postgame speeches. It looked
like a media storage room.
I was just looking at the whiteboard and kind of thought, that's locker room.
That's why I thought media storage room, because of all the equipment and the whiteboard and the things that no one could ever understand that are written on it.
All right.
Some kind of production code that they have. Because why not?
Let me set the scene.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they showed footage because they're in a feud with FTR. If you've been a little out of the loop with AEW, and FTR, as we all know in real life, is good friends with one best in the world, voice of the voiceless, and a man that you either love or you hate with very little in between, CM Punk. And as you may recall, ladies and gentlemen, last week on the show, To the Turnbuckle, a Snapman Impersonation Production presented by our good friends at Dummy. As you may recall, CM Punk went on the MMA Hour, and he talked plenty about his stint in AEW and how it ended. Clearly, that peeved off one Tony Khan, because Tony Khan decided to air the footage, the unseen security camera footage from Wembley Stadium at All In the fight or the scuffle, the brouhaha, perhaps, of one Jack Perry and CM Punk. And now that I've set the scene, I want your thoughts on what has set the world ablaze wrestling-wise. What was your thoughts? And Freddie, I want your thoughts, and anyone else, I want your thoughts as well, but Jason, I'm going to start with you. What was your thoughts on AEW airing the footage?
I'll put it this way. It's really not good when Facebook clowns you on the subtitles, and when you say his last name, it's spelled C-O-N. It's not helpful. I think it was two N's, but still, that's not helpful. So you want my thoughts on the footage, right? I didn't really see anything that I didn't expect. I've heard of many of these kerfluffles in locker rooms before. It doesn't mean it wasn't fireable. It doesn't mean that I don't think CM Punk overreacted just a little bit. Look, watching that got my adrenaline pumping. I was like, oh, that looks like me and my friend Shoot fighting back in the day after one of us had a little too many and talked a little too much shit. That's what that looked like to me. I'm not taking Jack Perry or CM Punk sides in this, as I don't think I did before, other than saying I'm pretty sure this is CM Punk wanted to get the fuck out and his brain said, oh, this'll work. Which, whatever. If you don't want to be there, you don't want to be there. That's a different conversation. I give him good job for trying to finally make money from this. It was not executed well. I don't think blaming that situation on CM Punk's storyline-wise works. They weren't out there at all. Like, at all. And then, of course, they couldn't have handled it because CM Punk's the first match anyway. So, logically, that reason doesn't fit. So, look, it's their footage. All the more power to them for trying to turn it into a story. It doesn't change my opinion that it's a wrestling locker room and this shit happens. It happened with Chris and Brock. Different circumstances, but it happened. It happened with Chris and Goldberg. It happens all the time. My biggest issue is that it's flat. It hit flat. It's bad. There were CM Punk chants in the crowd. So, and I mean, you got WWE wrestlers just in on the joke trolling you too. That's not helping. Did you see CM Punk's Instagram story? That's not helping. Like, nothing good came from this, but at least they tried to do something, I guess, is the best I can say. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Freddy's got a comment. He said, I'm not taking any one side on this either, but I think there's more than what was said and seen behind this. I agree, because remember, Dave Meltzer, and I know that we all have our opinions on Uncle Dave, but he said that this isn't the footage where this is not the portion of the day where Tony Khan feared for his life.
Which is probably something they can't show.
Well, it was probably in a private dressing room, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, or and that, you know, the non-disclosure, whatever agreement they made to not talk about stuff.
Well, clearly that's flying out the window.
You're in AEW situation. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. There's this old saying that I've been hearing a lot lately: when you're hot, you can do no wrong. When you're cold, you can do no right. I don't think that this was not the answer. I know I defended it in our chat for them showing it. It's their prerogative. If they want to do it, if they want to waste TV time on it, that's fine. And I will wait and I will comment after it happens. I'm a wait and see guy.
Sure.
I love AEW, but fuck, this did not have the right intention. I got a real bad vibe. And I know everyone's seen the meme by now, but remember, I'm 40. I was 16 years old the first time I saw this look on Tony Schiavone's face. Right then and there, I knew, oh no, this is not going to do anything. You could see it on his face. You could see it on Excalibur's face. Shivani's covering his because he is not happy about this. I don't think this was the right answer and the right way to do it. I'll say this. I do think that Bully Ray and Dave are right. This could have been a podcast. This could have been a conversation on, and it doesn't have to be Busted Open. It doesn't have to be Ariel Helwani. It can be, he likes to talk to Sports Illustrated right now. Tony Khan does. It could be them. I think that was the right platform for this. Looking back at it.
What else would you have done? Because I have my own thoughts, but I want to get yours before I even get in my diatribe. What else would you have done to make it better? Would you have aired the footage at all?
All right. So hand to the floor. It's not about the footage, it's how it was used. So yeah, sure. If I was in Tony Khan's position and people were kind of talking shit to me about me during the biggest wrestling week of the year, yeah, probably. My emotional response is okay, I got this. But it's way too convoluted to blame CM Punk for their loss at all. It's too convoluted. What I would have done is show the footage. And you can kind of see, you're already aware that Samoa Joe and CM Punk like each other. You can kind of see that Malakai Black and CM Punk like each other from that footage. And you could make this about getting them out. You don't have to really want them out of the company, but this can be a story for a minute.
Sure.
You are friends with that cancer that we got out of here. And you never bring up CM Punk again after last night, period. Whether you do it my way or theirs, you don't.
No, that needs to be the last mention or allusion to him.
But then you make it a driving force for them to want to clear the rest of the cancer. The cancer was only in remission. We need to get the rest of it. All this. And you could go and have the rivalry with FTR and actually have it mean something. You can throw in the House of Black, give them something a little more meaningful to do, something to bite into, because I don't think that the fans want to boo them. So why not turn them face against Okada and the Elite?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this on the footage, and then I'll get my thoughts. I've seen a lot of people online compare this to the dying days of WCW. WCW 2000, of course, maybe Finger Poke of Doom. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it compares? Do you think it's a
Do you think it's a sign of the beginning of the end, as some have suggested? I had a friend, and I'm not going to name names, I had a friend of mine last night share a post separately from me on Facebook regarding this, who said AEW, and I'm paraphrasing here except for this last portion, AEW can't be taken seriously at this point, and here's the portion that was a direct quote, they should just go under. So my question to you is, do you think this is a dying days of WCW-esque moment? Do you think this is the beginning of the end? Is this just a misstep? What's your thoughts?
I think this is a misstep. I wouldn't go that far. They haven't put the world title on a celebrity. Nothing against David Arquette. He gave it a shot later on in life.
It's really not.
Because I'll tell you right now, if someone came to me and said, hey, you want to be world champion on television, even though you have no experience in this and it'll be fine? Okay. Cool. Why? Because it'll be cool. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm sure that's not the real reason they gave him, but you don't really need a reason if you want to be world champion. Yeah. Of course I want to be world champion. Come on now. But I wouldn't go that far.
Because have you seen those comments? Have you seen some of them?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. I think I paid more attention to wrestling Twitter last night and today than I like to care to admit, and that I have in a long time, because I wanted to see the reactions. Because, like, yeah, that is pretty much play-by-play of what CM Punk said.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ish.
Because the way he said it was like it was a hum-dum thing in the park. That really is not, it's not really a hum-dum thing in the park. Most of us wouldn't have, you know, feared for our lives in that situation. You said Meltzer reports that's not that footage. So, I don't know, man. At least they're trying to tell stories, but they're telling the wrong one, because they could have had a whole Elite verse. Half, if not more than half of the locker room, then more than they already do, because yeah. Now they could have made it personal. Call them all cancers. It did. I feel like the video might have undermined Edge last week a little bit.
Freddie says he thinks it's a misstep, in his honest opinion, yeah, but he thinks that's all it'll be.
I agree. It's not the end. It's nothing as egregious as what WCW was doing in 2000. All right.
Are you ready for my thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about it, Freddie. Let's talk about it, Jason. Let's talk about it, anybody else, and we thank you sincerely for tuning in. All right. What are my thoughts on AEW and this footage? I want to first unequivocally state that, as everybody knows that's ever watched the show, I'm a big CM Punk guy. I'm a CM Punk mark. Even when I vehemently disagree with him, I respect his candor, and I still feel that way today. There's plenty that CM Punk says I disagree with, but I appreciate the fact that he's going to call it like he sees it, and you're going to know how he feels. And in an era of fiberglass, he's kind of a gem in that way. So, all right, from a professionalism standpoint, from the outset, was it a great idea to share the footage? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And I understand people's point on that. Oh, it's petty, it's this, it's that. Sure. Sure it is. Sure it is, and that's correct. But there's a couple of different ways to look at it. My thoughts on the actual footage: CM Punk makes it seem more innocent than it actually was. I mean, you're having a big time, well, not big time, but a pretty big scuffle right in front of your boss, right pre-match. Not the time, not the place. Mojo's got to get in there. Jerry Lynn's got to get in there. Frankly, it's not cool. Jerry Lynn's got to get in there. We know his neck issues. You never know what might happen. Clearly CM Punk was looking a little, and look, we've all lost our shit, so I'm not judging here, but CM Punk was looking unhinged as he lunged at what appeared to be Tony Khan behind those monitors. Again, what appeared to be. So I want to make clear on that. I don't know what Jack Perry said. The audio wasn't available of the security camera footage. But his first reaction is always, let's punch a mother lover in the face. And that just doesn't fly in 2024. It just doesn't fly. It just doesn't. I mean, I'd rather him say, I'm going to kill you, but not actually physically harm, than your first thought be, yeah, let's get physical here. Like, because there is the one, and I know they're kayfabing, but the one thing the Bucks make a good point on the footage is kind of about the time and place. This is the biggest AEW show of all time. You are opening match, which is a pretty damn good spot if you're not main event, of the biggest AEW show of all time. Arguably, we can debate the crowd all we want. One of, if not the biggest, high-attended wrestling events of all time. It's not the time or the place to have a physical scuffle. It isn't. I mean, anyone can... I appreciate CM Punk's candor and his honesty and his ability to, whether he's able to or not, he'll try to back up what he feels. But I thought this incident kind of showed why, especially once you see it, and I hate that this is the case, especially because he made the first move. I thought it showed why Tony Khan made the probably proper decision to fire him. As much as I hate that, I wish he was in AEW still so much. Collision was built for him, literally. Now I want to look at this from another angle. People have to remember, because people are going, oh my God, this is so Bush League. Oh, this is so petty. Oh, this is so that. Oh, this is so... sure it is. But let's look at it from a business perspective, ladies and gentlemen. AEW, just like WWE was until they've just announced all their deals for the next media rights period, AEW is in a media rights period. They are making, they have to negotiate with Warner Brothers, TNT, TBS, and if for some reason those negotiations don't go the way one inside wants them to go, then they have to negotiate with somebody else and find a new home. Yes? If.
Yes. Very much so.
So ratings matter. Ladies and gentlemen, ratings matter. And you might say, well, that's a cheap stunt to get a rating. And you're right. It is. But in a contract year, after probably a month of falling ratings, for some reason, I have no idea. I think they're putting on quality shows. Some of it has been, this time of year and basketball and all those sort of things. Lots going on. Ratings have fallen, and they're and you need buzz. Everybody's talking about Cody and finishing the story. Cody and finishing the story. Cody and finishing the story. And we're going to talk about it plenty. You need to create buzz, and this was a way to create buzz. And you might say, well, it was petty. It was unprofessional. And yes, it was. But it was also petty and unprofessional for CM Punk to pretty much ragdoll AEW in a slightly kinder way than he did to WWE with Colt Cabana on his podcast several years ago. That's also not very cool, unprofessional, and all those things. Because, I mean, frankly, I know Ariel's got to ask the question, but CM Punk has never heard of a no comment in his life. You know, CM Punk could have redirected those questions to WWE-related negotiations. There's plenty of, whether it's true or not, I'm not going to get into on this day. There's plenty of scandal within WWE to discuss. There's plenty of thoughts there. There's plenty of opinions that could be thrown there. There's opinions that could be thrown around about Nick Khan, the guy that brought him back to the company. Corporate officer number one. So yes, I get why everyone's like, well, it's unprofessional, it's this, it's that, it's this. Yeah, it is. But you got to remember, if you're trying to pop a rating and create buzz, especially during WrestleMania season, during one of the greatest WrestleMania seasons WWE's pulled off in recent memory, if not ever, I kind of get it. I'm not saying it's the best thing, but I'm saying you never know what might up that average and make a difference. This comes down to the dollars and the cents and the numbers. Stats are stats. We can play scuttlebutt and whatever all you want to.
But here's the thing. Like, at least they were very transparent that this was a ratings ploy. They were very transparent that it was petty. And I say at least because
And I
the nicest thing I could say right now.
And I give and I give some, and again, I agree. It wasn't the right call, but I give some credit for the fact of, hey, you had the cojones to air it, and it's not a swerve. You know, because my first thought,
so upset.
My first thought, and I told you this in the chat when the news broke, because I think it broke technically Saturday night, early Sunday morning, because of the odd time of collision due to the NCAA tournament. My first thought was, I think it's some sort of swerve. I didn't think they'd have the gall to actually air the footage.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Wasn't it earlier that was it Saturday or Monday that Warner Brothers released the numbers? The overall.
That was Monday's, the 4 million press conference. Yeah.
Those are the numbers.
Yeah, very.
You didn't need this, I don't think. Sure, the initial ratings always looks bad because it's not WWE, but they haven't been on fire either.
But they have oddly declined over the last month.
Yeah, no, I'm not denying that they're not, but if you're over here touting these numbers, maybe you don't need this tactic, like, at all. And I know I talked earlier how if you know, gun to my head, you have to show this, how I would have tried to tie it into the story a little bit differently.
Travis says he will command Tony for having the balls to try this. It was a massive fail, but at least he gave it a shot. Was it a massive fail?
Oh, it was.
I'm not being a smart ass when I ask this question.
I thought it because,
in what way is it a massive fail? I promise not. I'm not being smart. Promise. Literally, I want to know what you guys think is quote unquote a massive fail about it.
I don't care anymore about FTR and the Young Bucks for the tag team championships more than I did before I watched that segment.
Fair.
I care. Fair. That's going to be a banger. Well, I am down to watch that. It didn't make me want to watch it any more than I already do. This really felt like. Bases are loaded, bottom of the ninth, down by one, strike three, you're out. That's what that felt like. Now, do I think it's like super detrimental and they're going to go under and all this hyper bullshit? No, but that's how big of a miss I think this was.
Okay.
And this is why I think that they, and I know I've preached about this before, they need some writers. They need someone that knows pro wrestling. They need someone that knows weekly episodic television, and they need someone that hates pro wrestling with a passion so they can really go, no, this is stupid. Because hats off to the creative freedom in AEW. That's always refreshing.
Interesting qualities.
They don't know how to always weave a narrative. So last night, after getting to sleep on it and drive around town and think about Dynamite last night, this really felt like an emotional response show. It didn't really feel what you and me texted each other, like, why didn't they lead off with this footage? This felt like an emotional show where, well, leading into the last couple of weeks, there was almost like a little narrative, and their through line was almost halfway. Was half baked at best. Like, sure, it was cool to see Swerve beat up and spear Joe through a table. That was cool. And then the end of the show was good. But it was a really, really thin through line through the rest of the show that was just kind of there. And look, man, I love Chris. This is not the spot for him tonight. Adam Copeland and Penta, yes. If you're showing this footage and you hope this is going to bring in more ratings, I'm sorry. That is not the spot for him right now. He is not hot right now. You guys know how much I love Chris Jericho, but he is not on fire right now. You put your best foot forward. You don't book Okada in a squash match either. This was not AEW. You don't book Dustin Rhodes in an AEW World Title Eliminator because his last name is Rhodes when you have a match booked for Dynasty. He can wrestle Samoa Joe. That's fine. But once you throw AEW World Title Eliminator, Swerve's already won the opportunity to wrestle Samoa Joe with Dynasty. We are, what, as of yesterday, we're like 10 days away?
Sure.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't throw World Title Eliminator in there. That already tells me
even more so because Dustin's on Rampage all the time, that Samoa Joe's going to win. Mariah May and Anna Jay felt natural. That felt like a natural progression of their story.
I like what we're doing.
The Tony Storm Thunder Rosa thing was fast. That happened way too fast. It was like all of a sudden. I had to turn around and rewind because I'm always doing stuff during the show and I can't wait to read Travis's comments. But it didn't feel together. It didn't feel like the last few weeks. And if you're using this as a ratings ploy and you're being at least admitting to it when you Sports Illustrated that, yeah, of course this is a ratings ploy, which is okay. It's fine. No, don't talk shit because we're being blatantly transparent about this. This is not the show you put on for that. Will Ospreay doesn't cut a promo on Hunter. You put him in a fucking match. You put Bryan Danielson out there in a match. You put Eddie Kingston. You put your core AEW guys, the guys that the crowd loves to death because of what they give us in that ring, and you give us AEW wrestling. You don't do what they did last night. I struggled to pay attention after the video because I don't care that they showed it, but it took me out because I'm like, what is that explanation even for? We're adults.
In a
professional, that's like, oh, my second string safety got arrested and it affected the whole team and that's why we lost the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear that from my smarmy EVPs. This is the first thing that they've done since this character change that I didn't really like.
Well, devil's advocate, you talk about you wanted, and then I'm going to get to Travis's comments. You talked about how you want to give them AEW wrestling, but theoretically, if it's a ratings ploy, and lately AEW wrestling is not drawing as well as it once was, maybe you try something different. Again, we have to remember, I don't know Tony Khan in the sense of, in the way of I know Vince, because there hasn't been a 40,000 books and all these things written on him that I can understand his psyche yet. So understand, I'm completely guessing here. But could it be a case of, we've had about 6 consecutive weeks of the ratings either stagnant or dropping. They've kind of evened out at 750,000 lately.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. So could it be a case, again, being devil's advocate, and remember, he's up on a TV rights deal. He's getting ready to negotiate. He even admitted that the exclusive window is getting closing soon.
Yes.
Could it be a case of, like, for some reason, these bangers aren't drawing. Let me try something different. Could that have been the case?
If you're going to show this footage, this isn't the week to do it. Because it's not writers, damn it. Writers.
But they're telling stories. But the writers thing that you talk about, you might be falling into the CM Punk case here, where a lot of what CM Punk complained about AEW is what makes them AEW indifferent.
Well, no, but and that's fine. I'm not saying write promos for guys. I'm not saying that. I'm saying help them structure your stories so they mean more. Look, nothing against the Jerichos, the Ospreys, the Copelands. They're performers. They're not writers. Sure. I love what they're doing. I even like what Chris Jericho's doing, even though he's stale and he probably shouldn't have been on last night, if you're trying to put your best foot forward wrestling-wise. I don't think you go this far right from what you've been doing. Like, sure, Copeland and Penta, sure, and Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes is very AEW.
Bash.
Mariah May and Anna Jay were very AEW.
Sure.
But they were all over the place. And then Hook's not that big of a draw yet. Jericho's stale. Nobody knows who Shibata is, even though I love that he uses Siri to talk to people. That's great.
Let's get to these comments from Travis.
Okay.
Travis says, because there's like 3 comments here, so Bear okay. with me. Comment number one, because ratings aside, which, hey, at least they popped 800,000. Jason just said, I don't care about the story they shoved this into. Why did FTR versus the Bucks need this? They're the two greatest tag teams in wrestling, so that should be enough. I think that's a fair point. Here's the other one. The other downside is that showing the video clearly was not welcomed by some of your talent. Tony Schiavone looked justifiably upset and pissed off in the video and was shown that he's been in spots like this before. He's seen how this goes. Not saying AEW is going to have the same fate, but it's just not a good look. And then finally, Travis says, totally agree with the Ospreay take. Didn't mind the promo. It was a solid day, but considering you already have airtime to WWE talent with the video, throwing more promotion towards them with the promo was not the smart move, you know, in terms of gave them airtime. All right, so thoughts on all that?
I think me and Travis are basically on the same page with this.
Sure.
My biggest thing with the Ospreay, Renee was so uncomfortable. Like, you gotta... I'm not gonna use read the room, because every fucking podcast has used that today. You gotta know who you're standing next to and talking to. It's not like she's not friends with this man. Well, he crossed a line. I don't like it when you say it. I don't like it when Ospreay says it. Because maybe.
Spoke the facts.
Because he got in a relationship with Stephanie. He was able to get closer to Vince McMahon. Sure. That's logical. That could have been anyone. It happened to be Hunter. Not saying that Stephanie was all over the place.
Sure, but I got
she
you.
Could have fallen in love with any wrestler. And this could have been any of them. And his products aren't bad. You may not like everything on the show. You may not like the lack of legends he has. You may not like that they're not all his guys. But where we are going and the stories that he tells are better than what we're being told before. He has a body of work of success. Whether it's taking someone's idea and turning it for the better, that's just as good
sure.
as making it up yourself, because that's the creative process. It's the Simpsons did it. Everybody's done it. Not, and it's all different when it comes to wrestling and everything else. But you look, there's nothing new to do. You just have to put your own spin on it and tell those stories differently. And I'm not trying to be a Triple H apologist and bash on Tony Khan because of WrestleMania, because I didn't bash Tony either. I just think they need help fleshing out their story. I don't think anyone needs to write promos. That's not AEW. But I think if you give a writer to two wrestlers that are in a feud, hey, where do you guys want to go with this? I don't think it's detrimental to have someone that knows how to write things for television to help them flesh it out and make it better. I never want to see promos written by writers again because it's terrible. But using them properly could have made this better. Could have. I don't know. I think using them properly can make stories tie in better. Because like I said, I'm not involved. I'm not an expert in anything, so to speak. But the way I would have used the footage, that's 3, 4, 5 tethers of storyline for you.
I agree that they could have or should have used the footage in a better way, and I don't think that's where Tony's head was at on this. I think he was hell bent to change the narrative a little bit,
And that's why I feel like this was an emotion. The whole show was emotional,
sure,
and you can tell by the kind of scattered booking that didn't really make sense.
Can you do me a favor? Can you Google Tony Khan for me and tell me how old he is? Do me that.
I think he's.
Do me that. Just do me that there. And I'll talk here for a second while you're doing that. On the Ospreay promo, I loved it, obviously, because he said exactly how I feel.
He's 41.
He's 41.
So, yeah, pretty close to my age. I mean, he's older than me.
Well.
1 year and a month,
sure.
actually.
That's well, wild. When... Look.
Give or take a couple days.
Look, you know... When people are that age, because that's, you know, that's still young enough to have some fire, some vigor, you're going to make some emotional reactionary decision. Derek Bischoff didn't. Yes, I know what happened to WCW. But, hey, so did Vince. Vince had reactionary moments. His entire the entire invention of the Mr. Man character was a reactionary moment. Keep in mind, he was trying to babyface himself with Brett. That's what he's trying to do. The time-honored tradition. With the black eye and the weird-ass turtleneck. And that was a reactionary screw-you-Brett decision. So I'm not upset that he had a reaction or had some I'm glad he showed the cojones to do it, because usually it's no comment, I'm not doing this. Usually he, in my estimation on these things, he's a little too professional, a little too robotic. Because CM Punk spent an hour undermining your business, and I love CM Punk. And so people like Ryan are going to see this and go, you've turned on Punk. No, I haven't. But I can understand Tony Khan's frustration when it's like, bro, I gave you like not one, not two, but like three chances. I let you run down my company right beside me, and I brought you back, and I wanted you, and I built you a show. And whether you wanted to be here or not, I gave you said opportunity, which almost certainly led to you getting a job with WWE, which is leading to this run, and your dream of WrestleMania is a real possibility for next year. Like, even if Punk wanted out like he says he wanted out, if I'm Tony Khan, at a certain point, it's like, all right, I know that you want it out, but you have, and again, this doesn't surprise me about CM Punk, but if I'm Tony Khan, I go, you couldn't show me a modicum of respect when I brought you back. You didn't show me a modicum of respect when you lost it and complained about the EVPs and Heyman Adam Page and buried the whole company. And so probably after about the third time, because technically this is probably about the third time he's made AEW look like fucking doofuses. Sure. I think Tony probably went, I've had enough, because Tony fought his ass off to keep CM Punk in the fold, to the point of CM Punk said, no, let me go. No, we'll do separate shows. We'll make this work. I gotta say, I think you're right in the fact that he handled it wrong, but I actually understand why he did, because that's three times that CM Punk did all he could to essentially undermine AEW, whether he meant to or not.
Look, you, as much as anybody else that's in our chat, knows that I totally understand why it was released.
Sure.
That's why I gave a solution to where if you're hell-bent on releasing it, do it this way. Tie it in this way. Don't blame FDR for a loss like we're in high school. Talk about how you removed only removed part of the cancer. Now you got other cancer to remove. That's since they're friends with CM Punk, that's FTR. Since Malakai Black is friends with CM Punk, that's the House of Black. That's a whole,
well,
that's storylines. And I love wrestling, but there's dream matches are great, but we do need some kind of a story. I mean, me and Travis are really agreeing today. This is weird.
Well, I wonder, and I'm purely speculating here, I wonder if a true, because every insult that was truly said towards CM Punk was pretty subtle and not that insulting. I wonder if there's some sort of paperwork that hasn't expired yet in terms of, we can't really call you a cancer and everything, we like, you know, the ultimate shoot promo of shoot promos. I wonder if we haven't reached that point yet. And this was the way that, because again, legal mumbo jumbo is so weird, right?
I mean, you're right.
Maybe it's a case of, this was what Tony and company thought. This is what rides up against the line. This is what won't cross it. Because we know CM Punk will sue a mother today. He'll sue somebody. Frankly, I expect a lawsuit to potentially come.
They said they had lawyers look at it.
I expect, because
said it would be fine.
Because CM Punk is just not afraid to, look, hey.
Like I said, like it's, I don't, I, and I also think you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. If you don't respond, the IWC explodes. If you respond, the IWC explodes. I just don't think that.
I love
that worked.
I love CM Punk.
It just didn't and work. It didn't
I,
work.
I love CM Punk, and I've really grown to love AEW. I hope that no matter what anyone's opinion is on this, and it mostly seems to be this was horrible.
That seems to be the consensus.
I don't quite agree with that. I think that's a little hyperbolic in terms of how bad this is. Or I don't think it's a right. But I think misstep is the proper call.
Yeah.
I hope this is the last we hear of it, Because at the end of the day, here's the reality, folks, because we got to move on. We got a lot to talk about. Here's the reality of it. CM Punk is in WWE. He appears to be happy. He appears to be having a wonderful run despite his injury. And AEW is putting on a very solid product most weeks, a very enjoyable product. You have plenty to watch. And I hope they can. I hope this is the clean break and the closure that Tony Khan and AEW needed.
Travis brought up a good point. I don't know if it loaded up yet. That I forgot to bring up. Like, they're copyrighting everything.
Yeah,
copyright everything. Video that goes up, they copyright strike. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, because I tried to because Peyton wanted to see the footage.
I do think and I so, read. I forget where I read it. But I do think there's something law that you security camera footage or something on social is something. I think that's what they're hiding behind by striking it.
Because I don't know. Because
they do own it, but it's really weird.
Well, they own, but do they own it or does Wembley technically?
I mean, that's
own it? Because
fair. It's not AEW security. Yeah,
it's not
footage.
Their cameras. It's Wembley's cameras. So I don't know if it was a one-time kind of, because sometimes you can call up something for a one-time use, because they even cut the footage out of the YouTube video version of the segment. Because I was wondering, because Peyton wanted to see the footage. If you live with wrestling fans, you heard about that situation. Course. Peyton wanted to see the footage. So I rewatch the promo. And when it gets to the point of here's the footage, it's gone. Completely cut out on their own YouTube channel. All Elite Wrestling's YouTube channel. So I wonder if it was some sort of one-time use deal, as can happen. I've only ever heard of that in music rights, usually.
Very.
Because
this was not, and I honestly can't get the look of Shivani and Renee.
I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta, Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob, god damn.
Matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
I'll
now.
I'll do it for free. I'll
see it now. I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back and forth places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble.
It means but let's make no worries exactly for the rest of your days.
Burner barrel. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.